Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. That comes in handy, especially for those folks outside our listening area. So if you're a regular listener and you'd like to share that information with family members who may benefit from listening here at WDIY, they can stream live online at wdiy.org. Today is January 14th, 2015. The markets were down today. The Dow closing at 17,427, the NASDAQ at 4639, and the S&P at 2011. Last week, we had President and CEO Chris Martin of the Provident Bank with us to discuss their entree into the Lehigh Valley, and I thank him for that. And that show, that podcast, should be available at wdiy.org as well, or on yourfinancialchoices.com. This week, we have attorney Charles Stopp of Steckel & Stopp Law Office. We will be discussing the basics of Pennsylvania inheritance tax, one of my favorite subjects, and how it affects agribusiness owners in particular, and the taxation of farmland and the family farm. So while PA inheritance applies to most of us Pennsylvania residents, and you may be thinking, well, you know, not so much the farming in part of that topic, we're still going to provide a lot of information tonight, so we want you to stay tuned. You're going to learn a lot about inheritance tax and why you need to pay attention. We are live tonight. We will take your questions. Judy Ann is in the studio with us this evening and will answer your calls, take your information, and ask you to mute your radio so you can hear us without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments, and while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and we will do our best to answer them. The number this evening is 610-758-8810, and you can also send questions through yourfinancialchoices.com. Steckel & Stopp has been serving the needs of the Lehigh Valley area since 1947, a general practice law firm with the resources and experience to handle the most complex legal matters with attention to detail and responsiveness that are a competitive advantage. Their direct one-on-one approach has allowed them to develop innovative solutions tailored to fit the needs of their clients. Partner Charles Stopp of the Slatington office received his JD from Temple University Beasley School of Law in 1975 and his BS in education from Kutztown University. Welcome to the show, Charlie.
Lori, thanks for having me. Sounds like fun.
Thank you so much for being here. And obviously, I'm attracted to your education background because that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be an educator. I wanted to teach. So can you tell me how you ended up practicing law and how that start in education impacts your law practice today?
Yeah. Without trying to be too wordy, having an educational background is both subject matter-oriented, and also teaching-oriented. So part of that curriculum involved how to present concepts and how to get concepts across, which I found to be very helpful in the law. And, you know, initially I thought being a college professor would be a very interesting profession. Didn't quite work out that way. I spent some time with Uncle Sam in the Far East doing some what they call operations and intelligence work, which provided a considerable amount of time for, you know, reading and studying and so on. And at that time, I thought after college and after the service stint, having a GI Bill available you know, maybe a law school education would be of interest. So that's generally how that occurred many years ago.
And it's great because their legal matters can be quite complex. So it's really important for people to be able to understand what you're talking about and what you're recommending and what they're kind of engaging you for. So that's great. And they can have a better understanding. They're making better decisions. Tonight, we're going to discuss a few items. One, the basics of Pennsylvania inheritance tax, because Charlie, I always like to set the table, kind of give our listeners some basic understandings. And then we kind of delve into some of the more complicated pieces of our subject. So included in that is, what is an agribusiness? And we're going to talk about that because there's particular PA inheritance tax applications for those folks, and we would like to make them aware of those, and why we need to pay particular attention to the PA statutes that govern the Pennsylvania inheritance tax and the special provisions that apply to those agribusinesses in particular. So let's start with the basics of Pennsylvania inheritance tax, if we can, because, as I mentioned earlier, as Pennsylvania residents, if we have listeners who are Pennsylvania residents, and for those New Jersey listeners who may have real estate in Pennsylvania or family members, quite often I have found in the Lehigh Valley area, we have families that kind of piggyback the border here. So let's talk about some of the basics of Pennsylvania inheritance tax to set the stage here.
Sure. Let's start with this. Many of the articles and, a large amount of the things that you deal with and many of the articles that are written about death taxes, generally refer to the federal estate tax, which applies throughout the entire country. That has become, as you know, less significant now for most people because of a very high exemption. What for last year was $5,340,000 per person. So a person with assets, a decedent with assets of less than that, was not subject to federal estate taxes anymore. And that's indexed for inflation, which really makes the planning for folks subject to Pennsylvania inheritance tax more important and more focused. So as you started off, and we'll cover that again, anyone who's a resident of the state of Pennsylvania is subject to Pennsylvania inheritance taxes. And anyone who's a non-resident but owns real estate in Pennsylvania is likewise subject to Pennsylvania inheritance taxes on the real estate that's located in Pennsylvania. Now, not all states have a state death tax. Pennsylvania does. It raises a significant amount of money for the state. One is not always sure what the state does with all the money it raises, but it raises a lot of money for the state coffers. And there's a number of different rates. What's called the spousal rate, anything that passes from a decedent to a surviving spouse is at the 0% rate. When assets pass from a decedent to what they call a lineal, a child, grandchild, and so on, that rate is 4.5%. Now, rate on what? Well, it applies on the value, generally the value of assets as of the date of death of the decedent. There's a couple of exceptions. Life insurance bears no Pennsylvania inheritance tax, and a few other exceptions. And then when there is a beneficiary who would be a sibling of a decedent, that rate is a 12% rate. It jumps quite a bit. And ones who are not siblings, just about for all others, some exceptions, the rate is 15%, and that's quite significant. Now, there are some deductions that are applicable to try to cram down on the net value of the Pennsylvania inheritance taxable estate. There are a couple of exceptions as well where a 0% rate applies. If a young child is involved who dies and a parent inherits or vice versa, those, fortunately happen rarely, but there's a few exceptions there. But that's generally the status of the act. A return is due, except for extensions, 9 months following date of death of a decedent. There's a provision that if some inheritance tax is paid within 90 days, there's what they call a 5% discount. Now, that doesn't reduce a 15% rate to a 10% rate. It's 5% off of the amount that's paid during that 90-day period, which can be significant, particularly when an estate involves a 15% beneficiary. So that's kind of a planning, post-mortem planning technique that most people try to take advantage of.
Okay. Folks, we're talking about Pennsylvania inheritance tax at the top of the show here. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
For program support on WDIY, we thank the Swain School, welcoming interested families to an admission open house Wednesday, February 4th at 6 p.m. to see what an independent school can offer, challenging academics, the arts, technology, and athletics in a safe and supportive environment, preschool through eighth grade. For information, swain.org.
For program support on WDIY, we thank the Zellner Arts Center presenting Buddy, the Buddy Holly story, now in its 25th year. Buddy opened in London's West End in 1989 and continues on tour around the world. It tells the story of Buddy Holly through his short career and features the classic songs Peggy Sue, That'll Be the Day, Not Fade Away, and more. Time is running out to get tickets for this one-night-only performance, Saturday, January 17th at 8 p.m. For information, 610-7LU-ARTS or zellnerartscenter.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We are talking with attorney Charlie Stopp from Steckel and Stopp Law Offices. We are talking about Pennsylvania inheritance tax at the beginning of the show here. And as we go through the show, we're going to continue our discussion into Pennsylvania inheritance tax, particularly how it impacts agribusiness owners. So as we go through the show, we'll discuss that. If you have questions, you're welcome to call in. We're taking live on-air questions or off-air, whatever you're more comfortable with. The phone number is 610-758-8810. Judy Ann is answering calls. She can take down your question and bring it in to us if you want to be off-air or put you through so you can talk to us directly. So again, that phone number is 610-758-8810. So attorney Stopp had just gone through Pennsylvania inheritance tax, the basics of it. It's a tax at death. It's a particular for Pennsylvania residents or for non-residents who may have real estate here or who do have real estate here in Pennsylvania. I imagine that it applies to businesses as well. And that the inheritance tax is based on your relationship. So the rate of tax is based on the relationship to whom you're passing assets. So if you have assets going to a spouse, it's zero. To lineal descendants or ascendants up or down, that would be 4.5%. To your siblings, 12%. And to non-related parties of those categories, 15%. Also zero for charity. But it's very important to understand who you intend your assets to go to so that you can plan with your attorney and make sure your estate is set up in such a way. Who's going to pay that tax? Is your estate going to pay that tax? Is the beneficiary going to pay that tax? So there's still a lot of planning in it, but it's important for you to know that assets that you hold may be subject to this inheritance tax and that you need to have your documents in order and also an inventory of your assets. So, Charlie, if we can talk for a minute about asset titling. So we've talked about assets that they've held at death, who they're transferring them to, the importance of knowing that and paying early to get a discount. But there's also an impact on the titling as well. So can we talk a little bit about why people need to pay attention to this as well in their estate planning?
Sure. There's a few techniques that are basic and simple to use as planning techniques. that can save a significant amount of Pennsylvania inheritance tax. An example of this might be, let's say John and Mary are married, and they have their house worth $200,000, you know, some investment assets, you know, worth another $400,000, and some miscellaneous assets, cars, tangible personal property, and so on. Well, a very simple and basic estate planning technique that works well in many cases, again, depending on the family dynamics, and there are different varieties of family dynamics that may impact upon this, but long-term marriage and a stable marriage, if most of their assets are titled either in joint names with the right of survivorship or a special variety of that called tenants by the entireties that applies only to spouses, when one spouse dies, those assets generally pass by survivorship without any estate administration to the surviving spouse. Only with the death certificate, the surviving spouse becomes the owner. And the inheritance tax rate is 0%. Well, let's just say John and Mary have two kids, Johnny Jr. and Alice. So when there is a surviving spouse, and again, if the family dynamics are conducive to this planning, you know, perhaps a surviving spouse, and it's generally Mary, might want to title some of those assets in Mary's name, using Mary's social security number for investment assets, as joint tenants with the right of survivorship with the two children. And if Mary chooses to title those assets in that fashion, and does so at least a year or longer prior to Mary's passing, then upon Mary's passing, again, just with a death certificate without an estate administration, the kids would become the owners, equal owners, of assets titled in that fashion. And if titled in that fashion for at least a year prior to Mary's death, that effectively reduces the Pennsylvania inheritance tax by 2/3. So instead of having an effective 4.5% rate, it's reduced to 1.5%. A very simple technique that works well in most families. Now, other questions come up is, well, what happens if one of the kids die prior to mom? Then what? Well, then unfortunately, it's an anomaly in Pennsylvania law, but that would call for an inheritance tax on 1/3 of the asset titled in that fashion. So the suggestion is that most clients do this when they're of more advanced years. They may not want to do it when they're too young, mm-hmm. but it's a technique that is kind of easy and works very nicely. Other questions that arise is what happens if one of the kids kind of goes bankrupt or is sued? How is that jointly held asset titled? And under a section in the Probate Estates and Fiduciaries Code, which you're very familiar with, Laurie, if the mother, Mary, was the sole contributing party to that joint account, the asset essentially remains mother's while mother is alive. And a divorce situation among one of the kids is not too much of an issue either while mother is alive. And as you know, when assets are received by a person by way of gift or inheritance, the principal is not marital property, only the increase in value during the time of the marriage and before the final separation. So that's an easy technique. There's a few others, but that's a very effective technique to reduce inheritance tax significantly. Some people will opt for the transfer on death or pay on death method. And in certain circumstances, there's reasons for adopting that method. But that method will not save Pennsylvania inheritance taxes. It's slightly more protective to Mary in this case, to the parent. But it will not save Pennsylvania inheritance taxes. The Pennsylvania inheritance tax will be imposed on the entire value of the asset upon the parent's death. The good news about the transfer on death, though, if one of the kids were to die before the parent, such would not prompt Pennsylvania inheritance tax liability upon the death of a child.
Okay, this is great. I could just sit here and just listen to you for the next hour. Unfortunately, we have to take some breaks. great information tonight, great topic. Folks, if you have questions, if you have not prepared a will, if you've not done your estate planning, this information is of particular interest or should be of particular interest to you. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll continue our discussion when we come back from the break.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We are talking about Pennsylvania inheritance tax this evening. And as we go through the show, we're going to get into a little bit more detail, in particular for folks who may be involved with an agribusiness, such as, you know, farming, farmland, farm conservation, that type of thing. We are lucky to have with us this evening in the studio attorney Charles Stopp from Stuckel and Stopp Law Offices. I appreciate him being here. If you have questions, you're welcome to give us a call. We love questions. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And you can talk live on air or off air, whatever you prefer. We covered the inheritance tax rates and how it depends on the tax rate depends on who you're transferring assets to, who the beneficiaries are, as to your relationship with them. So that's tax rates. Then we've talked a bit about the importance of asset titling and understanding asset titling and how it applies. And, you know, I want to remind folks that this is a show for education. Charlie had a background in education. I wanted to be a teacher. John Pierce, our engineer tonight, even was a professor. This is about education, and I can't stress the importance enough that your situation is unique and that you really need to seek legal advice from an attorney who is working with estates, because we're giving broad, general, educational information, but each situation is very, very unique, and you have to look at the family circumstances, the relationships. So don't just take what we say and go implement on your own. It's really something that it's worth taking the time to do it right, to set up your estate planning with options and forethought and everything like that. So we love estate planning, and it's fun, but it does require a conductor to make this symphony work, as we were listening to our Vivaldi at the beginning of the show. So you were just giving us some great ideas with, you know, asset titling, and we were talking about the relationships, and also that there could be joint accounts with spouses, joint accounts with, you know, it could be siblings, it could be children. It could also be not joint accounts, which it could be asset titling. It could be even making things payable on death and transfer on death. And Charlie, you mentioned that doesn't protect it from inheritance tax necessarily, but it does keep the control in the hands of the owner. And it does remove it from probate. But I also thought we should talk a little bit about, there's so much more to talk about on that subject, and if we have time at the end, we can come back to it. Mm-hmm. But I want to keep moving, because I want to also get our agricultural information about the farmland special exemptions. But let's talk for a minute about the how they value accounts at date of death. And the reason we're building up to all of this is so that we can talk about the impact this is going to have, in particular for farmland and real estate. So let's talk about valuing assets for date of death. So how do they figure that out?
Well, in the normal general rule for valuing assets is to determine the balance or fair market value of the asset as of the decedent's date of death. Now, for federal estate tax purposes, there's an alternative. There's something known as an alternate valuation date, which can be is 6 months date after the date of death of the decedent. And why was that as an option? Well, it was created, you know, somewhere around the Depression time, or where there was a real drastic drop in market values, so that if a person died on, you know, prior to October of 1929, let's say, as an example, and the market was flying high, but then 6 months later, the market value is only 20 or 25% of the date of death value, it would have been very oppressive then to try to pay federal estate taxes on the date of death value. So an option is provided in the federal realm, in not Pennsylvania, but in the federal realm to revalue 6 months afterwards. But for Pennsylvania purposes, the general rule is assets are valued for fair market value purposes as of date of death. Now, if it's a portfolio asset, it's easy to get those values. If it's a bank account or a certificate of deposit, it's very easy to get those values. If it's something that is not traded on a market or the subject of a statement, which is easy to ascertain value, then generally there's an appraisal process. In the case of real estate, Pennsylvania will accept the county appraisal in just about all cases without question, which will allow the decedent's estate to sometimes not have to incur the cost of a third-party appraisal. And that's a technique that can be used to save hundreds of dollars, sometimes several thousands of dollars, depending on the real estate asset that is would otherwise have to be appraised. Now, where were we leading from that point, Lori? Help me.
Well, I want to. Can I add one piece to
too?
Because sometimes what happens is families or the executor will jump in and they'll sell the asset. And so what might have been date of death value, what we might have had for a piece of real estate, maybe we didn't know what it was worth. Maybe we thought we were going to use the county value. And then 4 months later, we have a buyer for the real estate. That could impact the value we use on the inheritance tax return.
Yes, so. And a very good point, because an appraisal, it's an opinion of value. It may be an educated opinion, but it's still basically an opinion. Whereas if an asset is exposed to the market and it's marketed properly and you have a buyer and a seller that negotiate the process, the actual sales price is a better indicia of true value. And if an asset is sold within 9 months, certainly, that sale value can be used, which is good for a couple of different reasons. It firmly establishes the value for inheritance tax purposes, and also establishes what's called a step-up in basis, as you know, under section, and help me with this, is it 1019 or 1091?
Good for you for knowing the section, don't know the
28
section.
USC 1019 or 91. I always transpose those two numbers, which then helps avoid capital gains taxes, which, you know, generally are 15%, can be higher or lower depending on the circumstances. So that can be almost a perfect beneficial storm to cram down on total income and inheritance taxes for the beneficiaries.
Okay, so we talked so far about tax rates for inheritance tax purposes. We've talked about asset titling. We've talked about how valuations are established. Charlie mentioned that there's certain assets that get valued that get a step up in basis at the date of death, and that could make a difference for someone when in the estate or the beneficiary when they go to sell something, because if it has a step up in basis, it could be a step down in basis, but it's the basis at date of death, that could make a difference in the income tax when you go to sell it. So that is just one other piece before we go to our next break that I wanted to kind of refer back to our conversation earlier about asset titling and the importance of working with an attorney, because there may be assets that you don't want to title jointly because it will impact the ability to get a step up in basis on some assets. So be careful. You want to work with an attorney and get legal advice. This is all building up to what we're going to talk about in the next half of the show, which is talking about how this is relating to farmland and real estate valuations in particular. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Okay, welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I have in the studio with me this evening attorney Charles Stopp, and he is from Steckel and Stopp Law Offices, and his office in particular is located in Slatington. We're talking about Pennsylvania inheritance tax and all that goes with that. If you have questions, you're welcome to give a call. We take live questions or off air, whatever you're more comfortable. The phone number is 610-758-8810. You could also send questions through the website yourfinancialchoices.com. Now I'm building up. What have I been building up to? I've been building up to the impact of everything that we've just talked about in this first half hour, how it applies to our farmers. We have a lot of farmland in the Lehigh Valley, and in some cases, we have farmers who would also be exposed to the federal estate tax. Depending on how big the farms are, they could be valued at more than $10 million. And when we have a husband and wife, when I talk about the exemption that Attorney Stopp had mentioned earlier, in 2015, it's $5,430,000. If you're a couple, a husband and wife, you in essence get that twice. So we're talking about over $10 million. But sometimes we find that land, especially land that could be developed, can have those kinds of values. So I had asked you about how we come up with values. We talked about appraisals. We've talked about selling prices. In the federal world, it's typically land at its best and highest use. So someone could say, hey, I'm a farmer and, you know, I barely make enough money sometimes to, you know, put food on my table. I just happen to have all this real estate that I'm farming that's, it's worth this as a farmer, but if I were to sell it to a developer, it would be, you know, this much more. So it's kind of always been like a little issue about the highest and best use. So can you kind of talk us through a little bit at the federal level if we have an issue with that still, what has been done to change that? But then in particular, and you could go kind of right into what we have available in Pennsylvania because some of the rules changed.
Right, right. Let's start with a touch on the federal view presently. Let's back up a little bit as to what the federal planning did allow years ago, because that'll provide a little bit of a background. There is a provision in the federal estate tax law that allows the value of farmland to be specially valued based upon a formula that takes into account general rental conditions for agricultural real estate and some index for interest rates that apply. And that's a specialized appraisal. There's only several appraisers around, even in the state, who are very adept at that. One of them moved to Ohio, but she still comes in now and then and can offer that. I will say that the purpose of the federal rule for special farmland valuation was generally to benefit generational farming, so that the value would be lower to thereby reduce federal estate taxes to make it more affordable for the next generation to continue farming. The federal rules are quite different than the Pennsylvania rules in that regard, because the federal government requires that a qualified family member needs to continue to what they call materially participate in the operation of the agribusiness, the farm enterprise. And that can reduce the federal estate taxes. I have the amount here, but I won't shuffle papers, but it's something over $1,040,000 or somewhere around there. Part of the bad part about it is then the farm will receive a lower basis, not the date of death value, which is typically higher than the cost basis. Mm-hmm. So you give up the basis. Again, it's not too necessary in many cases now of family farms to even deal with that special use valuation for federal purposes because of the large exemptions that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Now, there was a real perfect storm a number of years ago. We were working on an estate which held quite a bit of farmland, I mean, 400, 500, 600 acres, when the exemption was much lower. And the farm made money, but not the type of money that would allow for the payment of a significant amount of federal estate tax. Some of the land was zoned in a commercial area, and I think in an industrial area. So the delta in value from actual farmland valuation to the fair market value, highest and best use, was very, very significant. Instead of farmland at the time being valued at $3,000 to $5,000 an acre, in the area that was zoned, commercial, land may have been $80,000, $100,000, $150,000 an acre. So it was very significant in that case to try to reduce the value. And in one instance, at a time, you may recall that there was something available called a QFOBI, a qualified family-owned business deduction. That's no longer available, I don't think. Mm-hmm. But in the case of a farmland, I tried this and it worked. I worked with one of the auditors out of the Scranton office of the service, the IRS, whereby the farm and agricultural business, the land itself qualified for the special use valuation. But then the business aspect of the farm, including the assets needed to run the farm, namely the real estate, also qualified for a QFOBI, a qualified family-owned business deduction, which significantly reduced the net values then subject to federal estate taxes. And I'd have to go through the numbers and the calculations, but it saved a very, very significant amount of money. Now, many landowners, there are some large ones, there are certain exceptions that are still subject to federal estate taxes. But in the typical case, people in the agricultural business need land. They need land that they either rent or own, because gone are the days of the 100-acre family farm. You just can't generate enough revenue to support yourself without working a job outside mm-hmm. the farm. So many of the – there's been consolidation in many industries, banking, all kinds of industries, also in the agricultural business. So instead of having a large amount of relatively small farmers, there's a smaller amount of relatively large farmers mm-hmm. that own a lot of land or lease a lot of land. Okay. So for Pennsylvania inheritance tax purposes, maybe a farmer needs 500, 600, 1,000 acres to really run a good sizable business and have the economies of scale working. Okay, so the person dies. Now what? They own a significant amount of land. Mm-hmm. And if it's zoned in an agricultural district or maybe a residential district, the fair market value may not be that significant. If some is in a commercial or industrial area, it's very significant. But if the goal is, by way of a family lifestyle and perpetuation of the family enterprise, which may have been generational for three or four generations, if the goal is to continue that enterprise, then it becomes very important to try to limit Pennsylvania inheritance taxes as well. Now, should I take a breath there and you want to ask something, or should I keep going?
You should keep going.
Okay, keep going. Okay, so
we're getting to the climax.
All right, so up until about...
Do you need a drink?
No, I'm fine, okay. Thanks. But up until about 2 years ago, there was something in the Pennsylvania law that was little known. I kind of grew up in northern Lehigh County and, drove tractors and baled hay and, helped out as a kid, to... Everybody did those things, mm-hmm. picking potatoes. So you kind of, the culture. My parents were not farmers at all, but Everybody did that. Yeah. In fact, a little story, during one of the first football seasons of Northwestern High School years ago, and by the way, we were terrible. We had very few males in each class, but one time our flanker was the son of a farmer in Low Hill Township, and the dad would not allow him to play football on Saturday because he had to pick potatoes. So the coach got all of our team members and we went over to this guy's farm to pick potatoes. And there was like 20 of us picking potatoes so that the son would be able to play football on Saturday.
Oh, that's too funny.
Anyway, a little bit of an aside, but
that's great.
That was life back in 1966.
Yeah.
Okay, but as far as valuing, prior to about 2 years ago, a little-known provision in the Pennsylvania Inheritance Tax Act allowed farmland to be valued at what's known as the clean and green value. Others will know it, some of the listeners, as Act 319. And that is an act, a statewide act, Act 319 of 1974,
mm-hmm.
Which allows real estate taxes to be imposed on farm real estate, qualified farm real estate, at a very low value for real estate tax purposes. And there's a similar provision in the Pennsylvania Inheritance Tax Act, which likewise allows the farmland to be valued at Act 319, or usually 60 or 70% lower than fair market value, sometimes more, for death tax purposes, so long as the farm for 7 years post-death continues to qualify. Now, the decedent or the decedent's family members need not even own the farm as long as it continues to qualify. So an example of one estate, friends of my folks went to the same church. They got to be in their 80s, husband and wife, lived a very meager lifestyle in a very large farmhouse on a 300-acre farm. Died. Well, they had nephews and nieces at the 15% inheritance tax rate who were beneficiaries. But their land qualified for this special use valuation, and the farmland was being offered for sale. So when the conditions of sale were prepared to set the rules for buyers to bid, one of the requirements was the buyers were obligated to continue to have the land qualify for the special farmland valuation for 7 years post-death, or if the buyers would breach that arrangement, the buyers would have to pay the delinquent inheritance tax at fair market value.
Yeah.
Okay. And that was before the Great Recession, when values were escalating like crazy. So the land was appraised to establish kind of a base value of what one might expect at an auction by one of the foremost appraisers in the Valley, Ray Geiger. You know Ray.
Mm-hmm.
And back in those days, Ray would call me or other similar attorneys who do this type of work after he did the appraisal and after the auction sale, and he would say, how much did I miss it this time? Because Ray's opinion was based upon prior comps, and the market was escalating so rapidly, it was difficult to predict what buyers would bid and how many would bid. So in this one instance, I can't think of the name of the folks right now, I probably shouldn't mention it anyway, they're gone many years. They paid Pennsylvania inheritance tax. They were not subject to federal state tax, but barely weren't. They paid Pennsylvania inheritance tax at a very low value, let's say at a 75% discount, off of the 15% rate.
Mm-hmm.
Using the sale price, though, for basis purposes, because it was turned over at a sale, and it saved a very significant amount of Pennsylvania inheritance taxes, and the estate, through the auction sale, raised a large amount of cash for distribution to the beneficiaries.
Okay, so we're going to have our next break, but yep. I want to summarize this because I think it's, I can't summarize all of that, but what I want to just point out was that where for federal purposes, they had to show that it was a qualified, basically relative to continue the farm to get some of the right. exemptions that were applicable. For Pennsylvania purposes, they do not have to be a relative.
Not for the section and provision that I just mentioned.
For the clean.
Now, there's another one following, which has a little different twist.
Okay, so we're going to talk about that when we come back. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
You're tuned to WDIY Allentown. This is Your Financial Choices with Lori Siebert. And it's time for a weather report. Lori, are you ready for tonight's low of 16 degrees?
I feel like it's been 16 all day in my office, so yes.
And Charlie's from northern Lehigh County, so he's used to these frigid temperatures. Right, Charlie?
Well, not there, because everybody there has warm hearts.
that's a great one. Tomorrow, Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 34. Thursday night, a low of 22. Then Friday, mostly sunny, high near 33. Friday night, a low of 14. Saturday, mostly sunny, high near 32. Saturday night, a low of 22. And for Sunday, get ready for a heat wave, 44 degrees under cloudy skies. And now back to Lori Siebert.
Thank you, John. Folks, if you have questions, there's still time. The phone number is 610-758-8810. Sometimes questions are a little bit longer or more private. You can always send those through yourfinancialchoices.com, and I can forward those to Charlie as well. So we are talking with, by the way, attorney Charles Stopp from Stuckel & Stopp up in Slatington, and in particular, the importance of doing proper estate planning, making sure that you understand how you're passing your assets, to whom you're passing your assets, how they get valued, and how you have them titled, and your beneficiary designations as well. And in particular, we wanted to put an emphasis for our agribusiness owners or those folks who have farmland in the family, who have farms in the family, so that you make sure that you do the proper planning as well. And what special valuations may apply to you. And we just explained or discussed one, not full explanation probably, but awareness about the Clean and Green Act kind of valuation based on some of those provisions and how those don't necessarily require that a family member be the one taking over the farm. There are certain rules for federal that require a qualified relative, but this act in particular, as long as you can make sure that the farmland continues to operate for 7 years and you want to do proper agreements when you're selling that, you may be eligible for some discounted value. So there is another one you had mentioned.
There is. And if I could back up a little bit, I may not have been, you know, altogether clear on the federal valuation. One of the distinguishing factors concerning the lower farmland valuation for federal estate tax purposes is that a close family member, usually a child, but it goes out further to brothers and sisters and even some ancestors, must continue to own the farm and materially participate.
You did say
I
that.
I did say that.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, thank you.
Now, for Pennsylvania inheritance tax purposes, there's another provision that's relatively new. They refer to it as Act 85, and I'm not sure why they always give the Act number, because each year there's an Act 85, you know. But this is Act 85, I think, of 2012, I believe, isn't it, Lori?
That's what you had.
Okay, I think it's 2012. And this shows the ingenuity of the agricultural lobby in Pennsylvania, because the state is essentially claiming it's out of money. It's been running budget deficits in the recent governor's election. You know, you read about that all the time. Yet, even in that circumstance, the agricultural lobby prevailed to come up with a real cherry for those in the agricultural enterprise, and even those not in the agricultural enterprise who own significant agricultural real estate. And get this, under this Act 85, if qualifications match up, the Pennsylvania inheritance tax rate is not just reduced to that 319 clean and green value that we had talked about earlier, but it can be reduced in the right circumstances to zero. Amazing. So what are some of the qualifications? Well, the land has to generate at least $2,000 worth of income a year. Now, that's gross income. That's not net. So the next question people ask is, does that mean I have to farm to generate that? The answer is no. The land could be owned by a NASA astronaut someplace who never stood on a farm or this farm. But he may rent it out and generate $2,000 worth of net of gross rental income. Great. So he dies and passes it to his kids, typically others. There's others. The family definition of qualified family members is broader. But let's say he passes it to his kids, you know, who live in Manhattan. But they continue to rent it for $2,000 a year, and they have to report each year that they do it. And if they do that for 7 years, the Pennsylvania inheritance tax rate becomes zero. Now, put this in a circumstance of farmland that maybe is in what Whitehall Township was years ago. When, if you're old enough to remember, the two guys from Harrison, you're probably not that old, John is, whereby you move north of Allentown on what had been 7th Street before MacArthur Road. You remember those days, John? And you drove through cornfields on a two-lane concrete road until you saw two guys from Harrison, which is now that shopping center or whatever it's called there in Whitehall. Well, there was a lot of farmland there. It was zoned commercial. And, you know, the county farmland value was very low, but the commercial value was very high. So that would even qualify under today's, you know, provisions as long as it continues to generate $2,000 worth of gross income.
Can I ask a question about that? So in this situation, when we talk about sometimes the new basis is established at date of death for valuation purposes, if it is in essence, is it the tax that's zero or the inclusion is zero? And if the inclusion is zero, does that mean my land now has a basis of zero?
Terrific, excellent question. And there's a background on that too. There was a little bit of debate on that one. Again, for federal special use valuation, if the value is crammed down for federal state tax purposes, that creates a lower income tax basis. So one would only want to elect for special farmland valuation for federal purposes if it's absolutely needed to save what is generally a 40% federal state tax rate. Mm-hmm. Okay, Pennsylvania is different. Now, if one elects a 0% Pennsylvania inheritance tax rate because you qualify, and for 7 years post-death as well, mm-hmm. What does that do to basis? The basis remains the date of death value.
Okay.
So you have it kind of both ways, 0% Pennsylvania inheritance tax for death tax purposes, yet what is generally the higher fair market value basis for capital gains tax purposes.
Okay, can I ask you another question?
That's why I'm here.
Because we see, you know, we do tax returns. We see folks who will have sometimes lots of acreage, and they're not really using it. They just wanted to have that big piece of land, or they may have inherited it or whatever, and they're renting it to farmers. Mm-hmm. So is this a situation where this could apply? But maybe they're renting the land to the farmer for $400. So is this something where we want to say, hey, client, maybe you want to think about raising your rent to $2,000 because that is now become an estate planning tool.
Indeed. Now, there was a little debate now with the Commonwealth. And by the way, the legislature passed the act, and it's bare. Revenue has been asked many times, are you going to adopt any regulations to implement the act? The answer is no. So Revenue Pennsylvania, yeah. Inheritance Tax Division, Department of Revenue, took kind of a very parsimonious approach on whether folks would qualify. And there's been a debate on that. And I sense that the executive department has been putting a lot of pressure on revenue to squeeze more revenue from the lemon. And one of the positions that was taken by revenue is that if the farmland, which would otherwise qualify, passed by will, it was okay. The election mm-hmm. would apply. But if it passed by trust, which, as you know, or many people apply trust nowadays as a will substitute often, revenue was denying those. In fact, there's one appeal going on right now. Perhaps the clients are even listening. I won't mention their name. But there's several appeals going in the state, very few. Our office has one of them, where the father set up a trust so that two of the children who were basically in the agricultural business could continue that business as long as they chose. And when they chose not to, they would cover all the expenses and so on. Then the trust would pass the whole ownership down to the five or six family members. Well, Revenue looked at that and they said, well, no, we're not going to allow the 0% rate because it passed by trust and not by will, even though there's a provision in the act that refers to a transfer by trust. Mm-hmm. Now, when questioned, Revenue said that, well, this is our view. And you say, well, please give us a written determination. Well, we won't do that. So that's being appealed. There's been some political pressure now placed upon Revenue. And the belief is that Revenue will back off on that position. But while this appeal is pending, there's some uncertainty. But in the right circumstance, in fact, doing some estate planning for some higher end folks with plenty of assets, liquid assets, you know, one technique that's been suggested is take some of your liquid assets and buy some agricultural real estate in an area that's in a pathway of development where the zoning might be changed in the future to commercial purposes, but park it there for the time being. Qualify for the 0% inheritance tax rate instead of even a 4.5% rate for the kids. Let it appreciate, and after 7 years, go ahead and flip it, and don't pay any death taxes on it. And at the end of the day, there's significant value there in the hands of the children. Mm-hmm. So that maybe is a technique that, you know, will work nicely for some people in the right circumstance.
So you've mentioned a lot of moving parts to planning, not just for folks who are residents of Pennsylvania to do their proper estate documents, their proper estate planning, coordinating that with those written documents, with their beneficiaries, with their attorney to make sure it's all going to go to the right places, but also overlaying all of that is not just having that all in order, but understanding the kinds of assets you have. Somebody who might be renting out some of their land just kind of as a nice thing to do, they don't realize or probably have not thought necessarily about how this might impact them. And to that point as well, as an attorney, you have people come in, you go through a list of questions, you ask them these questions, but sometimes people aren't always forthright in what they're sharing, which is one thing that I like. Why I like doing this show is to raise this awareness for someone who might not think it's important to tell their attorney that they're renting, you know, 50 acres on the backside for $400, because it might make a difference in that. Also, we've talked about people maybe being real estate rich but not having liquid assets, even with these discounts and maybe having some lower valuations. We still want to make sure they have the money to cover it so they could do some in life insurance and that type of thing. Charlie, we have about 30 seconds. Can you give me how do people reach you if they want? I think that's all we're going to have time for.
This is more for educational purposes, not for commercial purposes. But if I can help and offer some help, our office phone number is 610-767-3861. And my role, Lori, is I'm just the waiter at the restaurant. We'll go through the list of menu items and maybe the pork looks good tonight, the fish isn't so. And we'll present that with a bit of commentary to the client and present the menu to the client. But it's really the client's choice. But as long as our role is to present the pluses and minuses, and so the client can make an informed decision as to what's best for the client.
Well, and it's showing them the right menu, too, so that they know what their choices are.
You're saying no desserts?
Oh, no, I'm all about dessert. I do dessert first. Don't let your dessert spoil your dinner. Or don't let your dinner spoil your dessert. That's what it is, I say. Charlie, thank you so much for being here. It was wonderful. Yeah, very informative.
A lot of fun.
And I really appreciate you coming. We'll have to have you on again. Folks, thank you for tuning in. I want to thank our listeners this evening. I want to thank Judy Ann for being here. Thank John for being here. And again, Attorney Charles Stopp from Steckel and Stopp, and his office is located in Slatington. If you have questions and didn't get them through tonight, you're welcome to send those through yourfinancialchoices.com. Next week, get ready for tax season. I'm going to talk about what you need to do. Coming up next, Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.